Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
In Zechariah chapter 3, it says that there's a stone with seven eyes on it, and it takes away the sins of the world. Right? Pretty weird. Okay, a stone with seven eyes. That looks. I always imagine a potato. I don't know why, but I always imagine, you know, the potatoes have eyes.
Or a pineapple.
Or a pineapple.
Potato head.
So that's why he was that stone, because he had the law of God written upon him. And he's our foundation. He's our foundation upon what we build our faith on. So now, knowing that the stone itself, it's not a literal stone, it's a person. It's a person who receives the word of God, or it's the very word of God itself that is, you know, used for judgment. So the word can be likened to a stone for judgment, or can be likened to a person with the word of God.
So in the face of everything we've talked about, everything just feels a lot smaller. I mean, it's always like that whenever you talk about religion.
I'm so happy Jam stuck around for this episode about the parable of rock. After talking about her faith journey, her thoughts on religion, how she's been, we did a little catch up. You know, we had like a little magic 89.9 Marites moment and all that good stuff. Let's get to the parable, because this series is called Road to Revelation. We are discerning the testimony of New Heaven and New Earth, Shishanji Church of Jesus. We have Instructor Aaron Russo joining us. He's the one that is sharing the understanding that is coming from Shishanji. Is this the time of second coming? And before we get to that, though, I think this is something maybe we can do at the beginning of every episode, is we get messages once in a while, and we have an email address as well, thenarrowdoorpodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, we have random questions that come in, and we can touch on those before we move on to the parable. How do you all feel about that?
I like that.
Yay. We like that. We like that. Okay. We so like this that. Came in through my Instagram. Okay, so at I am Sam, at Fruit Preserve, at the Tina Ryan, at Joseph SCJ 2004. Is that your handle, Instructor Aaron?
Yes. Yes. Okay. At the on Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't look at it very often, so I forgot. Yeah.
This is a message that is coming from, give me a J name. Female. Not Jenny. Jam.
Jenny from the block.
Yeah, okay, the block. Let's call her Jenny from the block. Okay. So Dorito Jenny from the block says, "Hi Sam, I have been listening to the Narrow Door podcast since hearing about it on Good Times with Mo, the podcast. Hey, our friend Mo, remember? I'm only on episode 49 and it has been a part of my everyday. I listen to you guys in the morning while getting ready for the day. After I listened to episode number 47 and I had to check, oh, which one is this? Episode number 47 was something that we did on how to jumpstart your spiritual life. So this was very early days of the podcast, right? After I listened to that one, I prayed to God about giving me the desire to get to know him better, because I do, and I can feel him in my life, but I find it hard to read the Bible. Since then, I have been finding that I have questions about life, and suddenly I would wonder what the Bible says about it. I'm a very reflective person, and lately my reflections bring me to what God might think. I can feel the desire growing. It gives me goosebumps. The only thing is I feel stuck because I don't know where to start. I tried reading the Bible, but I couldn't understand it. And I'm also not much of a reader. I'm also a bit anxious about joining a Bible study group here. So I was thinking maybe read a daily Bible study book or a podcast. Is that something good to start with? And if yes, are there any ones that you would recommend? Thank you very much. That is coming from Jenny from the block.
Yeah, Instructor Aaron, I'm not a big reader either, and I can say I'm guilty that I don't open my Bible every day like I should, but like, because I think I still struggle with that, and I have to thank Sam for like encouraging me, because she's the best classmate ever, Jam, like seriously. Yeah, what's like the best thing you can tell people who aren't big readers? How do you start with the Bible?
Well, for people that have never read the Bible, but they want to, you know, of course, come to know Jesus, I would say definitely just starting with the New Testament, you know, even from the very beginning, because it's really not difficult in the very beginning. It talks about his birth, You know, it makes it very special about what happens with his birth. If you're not going to understand everything just by reading it. That's one thing that we have to be very clear. Just reading it, it's not going to be something that everything just becomes crystal clear and everything makes sense. But that's a good place to start, you know, just from that. The Old Testament can be a little bit more difficult for people that have never, you know, dived into the Bible at all. You know, they really haven't. If you don't actually like reading, I mean, there's people I know that just cannot concentrate when they're reading. They just can't. So audiobooks, you could actually, yeah, right? Audiobooks, you can listen to those. They have some really cool ones with some really amazing voices. And so people can actually listen to that while they're driving in their car, while you're, you know, doing dishes, you know, whatever. But I do suggest, you know, knowing what's in the Bible. It's really important because there's a lot of things that are either preached in churches or talked about with people, or you see in movies that really, they just don't exist in the Bible. It's just not there. But if you don't know it, then you could easily believe that it would be. Or they,
what's
they
a popular
take
one?
Out.
I'm sorry. Like, what's a popular one, Instructor Aaron, that people think is in the Bible, but is actually not there?
But
let's see. Well, one that just came up recently was the person Lilith. I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of Lilith, right?
Who's that? Yeah.
So it's something from Jewish folklore. It's not actually in scriptures at all. It's not a part of the Bible or scriptures, but it's like folklore. It's like something that was, you know, like a story. It's just a story.
Lilith?
Yeah, she was the wife, the supposedly the wife of of Adam before. But and it's a fantastical story that people like to listen to, but it really it just doesn't have any bearing on the Bible itself. And it, you know, so that's just one simple thing. You know, one simple thing. I can't really pull out too many. Anytime my wife actually asks me for like, give me an example of what you did this or that, I can never think of it at that moment. give me time. No, but I'm sure you probably have heard some, or there's things in the movies. For example, here's one, like the new movies that came out recently a few years ago, there was the one on Noah, right? Mm-hmm. The one about Noah.
Russell Crowe?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
it's just fabricated. It's not even, you know, it just, unfortunately, it could have followed the Bible. It could have, and it would have been a fantastical story anyway. It would have been great.
It looked like what was that? The Lord of the Rings. I told Sam, I watched it and I was like, that's not in that Bible.
You know what? Whoa. I remember. Yes. You actually messaged me and you were like, I'm watching Noah on Netflix and there's so many things here that's not in the Bible. You said that to me.
Yeah. They just had to make it more fantastical. You know, they really did. You know, the stowaway on the ark has nothing to do with it. Noah wanting to kill all the people had nothing to do with it. Like the rock people. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool, but
the rock people.
Yeah.
Which we are going to discuss. Which we are going to discuss. The rock.
Not the people. Oh, yeah. The rock.
There you go. Right. Yeah. I didn't even try that one.
I think.
And then Exodus, the same thing. The story of Moses. It had, what's his name? I have it right there. He's the one who played the Batman a couple of Batmans ago.
Michael George Clooney.
Just kidding.
after George Clooney, before Ben Affleck, Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, he was Moses, right? He was like this real powerful Moses. But just little things in there, like him throwing the sword into the, instead of a staff, it was a sword. Like they just changed the weirdest things. I don't know why. So that's what I mean by that. So point being, yeah, you got to read it. you got to read it. I know it could be a challenge. It could be a chore. Break it up. Right. Don't try to tackle the whole thing at once. You know, you don't have to read it all the way through from point A to point B. You can actually read the Gospels at different times. You can read some of the epistles, you know, from time to time. Make it interesting. There's some really fun stories in the Old Testament that they made some pretty cool movies about, too, that, you know, because there's some really interesting stories. But you want to know what's actually in the Bible and what's not.
I was about to ask Instructor Aaron, you being the specialist, right? What's the easiest part of the Bible? Like you would recommend to someone that's like easily understood for a first timer.
Understood. Wow. See, I mean, we're talking about a very spiritual book, right? There's easy things in the Bible, right? There's easy things in the Bible. Like if you look at the Beatitudes that Jesus preaches in, you know, Matthew 5-7, that's not very hard to understand, you know, like don't hate people. right? Don't even look at people with, you know, bad intentions. If you can, you know, if you can stop yourself, don't judge people, right? Try to live a good life the best you can. Try to be, you know, a good person, you know, be a person that's like, they say, peace, the peacemakers will be called the sons of God, you know, be hungry and thirsty for the Lord, you know, things like that. Try to be the salt of the world, the light of the world, meaning just be a good person to be able to shine the good things about God. So those are easy, right? That kind of stuff, just moral teachings in general can be easy. But when you get into prophecies, that's when you're going to start to, you know, have people have difficult times, because that's when it's going to talk about fantastical, crazy things. You're like, what is this? Why is this even in the Bible? You know? So yeah, the history, not too hard. This person existed, that person existed, right? The moral teachings, not hard. But then the prophecy and fulfillment, that's mm-hmm. where it's going to be a little bit more, you know, challenging. And that's when you need help. And that's what we're here. That's why I do what I do.
Yeah. So Jenny from the Block, for podcast recommendations, it would be the Narrow Door podcast.
Yeah.
But you know, based on my personal experience, right? If you really want to really seriously take on the Bible and learn about it, I think you do have to take a class. And that it's a lot to commit to for some people, but for me personally, anyway, I just came to a point in my faith life where I was like, you know what? I don't think I can really know God unless I know what he says through the scripture. Mm-hmm. And I know there are many choices out there. And so maybe that can be something that you can look through, see what fits and whatnot. But what we're talking about on the podcast right now, I think, fantastic. And that, yes, there's a lot of material online as well. And so the most important recommendation being, yes, the Narrow Door podcast. So, you know, I'll message you.
I know, no bias, you. No bias there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you guys, Instructor Aaron, before we get to the parable that we're going to discuss, which is the rock, it just occurred to me, the three of us, Sam, me, and Jam, were actually roommate once. We had,
in
there's a
Bohol.
Scenario in Bohol. We went to the beach for a company outing and we were roommates. And imagine, Sam, if then we were studying the parables of the virgins, the 10 virgins with Jam?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder with what Jam would have said with, the, yeah.
The, why?
See, I know my stuff. You know,
would she actually have shared, would she have shared her oil with us?
Okay, wow, yeah, Bible references. This is what happens when you go to a Bible class.
I think maybe one thing that would be good for people who listen to your podcast, I mean, not mm-hmm. to railroad anybody's opinions or anything, this is really quick. If you already listen to the radio, there's a radio station. There's one that's called Master's Touch. Are you familiar with it?
No.
Do you know what? 98.7.
They play classics, right?
Yes,
classical
it's
music.
It's called Master's Touch. It's the works of the masters and the word of the master.
What?
And I listen to that because I enjoy the classical music, and they give you history of the classical music. They talk about the music isn't necessarily related to the word, but they do like little breaks, and then they give you like a passage in the Bible. Yeah. And then
like,
they
this
talk
is their
about
regular
it a little bit.
Programming.
Yeah. It's literally it. Yeah. So they have an hour of classical works, whether it is, and their definition of classical is very broad. So there's a lot of like Mozart, there's that usual thing, but they also have history from the 1920s or the history of jazz, that sort of thing. It's very, very interesting. It actually, now that you think about it, feels like listening to a podcast, and then in between they have short discussions. It can be longer about faith, and then it's very interesting. It's very Jesus-centric.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you for that information.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Such a thing existed. And so see, there are so many options out there. Whatever is your jam, like our guest, you can go. But I highly recommend a structured class. a structured way of going about it. And taking it back to what Instructor Aaron was saying earlier about why it's important to know, like have a general idea of like what happens in the Bible and all that stuff. I think the importance of that gets even more highlighted when we talk about something like this, where we are breaking down the words that are in scripture, because the more we talk about this stuff, Book of Revelation, what they really mean, the figurative language that we find there. I mean, today we're talking about the parable of rock, and it kind of opens up a whole new world of, I think, understanding. You know, you may, if you have read the Bible, browsed through it, you may know that Jesus was called a stone. There's all this language of a capstone, the stone that was rejected. There is a white stone that is mentioned in the Book of Revelation. And so if you know that, then you would, I suppose, take interest in a conversation like this. Like, why is all that language there? And what does it mean? Right? So use that as an intro, Instructor Aaron, to talk about the parable of rock today. That's what we're doing.
But it goes back to what we're trying to do to help that person to understand the Bible, where if you try to just figure it out on your own, it's going to be very difficult as to why these things even exist in the Bible. Like, why is it important to have a rock in the Bible? Why is that something that I should even be concerned about? You know, that type of thing. So what I wanted to do for this was a couple things. One, understanding the Bible, you know, of course, it's only possible if God allows it, right? That's one of the most important things we have to realize, that God wants people to understand at the proper time, because he has a plan, he has a purpose. And the ultimate purpose is to actually to capture the dragon, okay? To capture Satan, to get rid of evil, to get rid of greed and selfishness, to get rid of anything that is not of God in this world. So the whole Bible has been leading for that. And to do that, God has set forth this plan, this purpose. And he did it in a way where he prophesied in the future and he uses certain objects. Okay, he can use many different things. He can use the things of the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the rain, the clouds. He can use all the things of the earth, right? The dirt, the trees, as we're talking about today, the rock. He can use people, right? He's used like the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, even Moses was somebody that actually was prophetic of Jesus as well, things like that. He can use events. There are certain events that took place that he uses for the future to prophesy. And it's not the actual event that's important. It's what happened in the event, right? Like Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, we talked about that. Because the second coming, he says, is going to be like the time of, you know, Lot, which is Sodom and Gomorrah. So these events, he's prophesying for the future. Then you have to ask, okay, why is it important to understand like the rock, for example? Okay, why is that so important? And as you mentioned, in Revelation, there's this white stone. So if you want to believe in God, if you want to believe in Jesus, right? If you want to understand them fully, okay, fully, then you have to understand what that is in order to believe in it, right? If you don't know it, you don't know it. So that's information you don't know. If you know about it, but you don't know what it means, then you have information about what it is, but that's as much as you have.
Interesting.
So why is he using it? Yeah. And so what you want to do is you want to know, okay, what is that white stone? And then by knowing that, now you have more knowledge about God and Jesus, and you understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. Okay. So why is it important to know about the white stone? Because it's there. That's why, right? It actually appears. So you either care or you don't, right? Obviously, but that we should care, because Revelation is something that actually we have to understand it to understand God's ultimate plan in the end. So the stone itself, as I was mentioning, and it was in the last episode, right towards the end, was that in Revelation chapter 2, there's these letters that are written. And inside of there, there are certain promises that are given. They're called conditional promises. Why are they conditional? Because the person has to overcome. It says, if you overcome, then you will have this. I will give you this. To the one who overcomes, you will get this, that, this, that. There's 12 actual blessings. And in one of those blessings, it's a white stone. So if it's a blessing from God, if it's a blessing from Jesus, then it's kind of like, I want to know what that is, right? What is this stone? Yeah. So when we talked about, is the Bible something that is written by man? Is the Bible something that we can believe in? The thing I keep pointing out is that there's this logic from Old Testament, you know, first coming to Revelation. So to understand the stone in Revelation, you really have to go back to the Old Testament. And this is why I say reading the Bible is important, knowing what's in the Bible. And you mentioned a couple of the scriptures that, you know, already kind of talk about it, that Jesus calls himself a stone, you know, the stone the builders rejected. Where does that come from? That actually comes from the Old Testament, right? So there's a scripture, one of my favorite ones is in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. It says, you know, God says through Isaiah, I will lay a stone in Zion, a precious stone, right? That if anybody that trusts in it, they'll never be dismayed, right? So there's this stone that's mentioned in the Old Testament, but that was written about 700 years before Jesus came. So for 700 years, people would read the book of Isaiah. They would read that God's going to bring a stone and they'd be like, okay, well, what is that? Right? You may think that it's a literal stone. Some people, a magical stone. Other people might have a little more spiritual knowledge. Well, okay, maybe he doesn't actually mean a stone. Maybe he means something else, but nobody would know what it is because you can't understand the reality of it until the actual fulfillment comes, right? The actual physical entity appears, then you can understand it. So in the Old Testament, there's a lot of references to certain stones. There's another one in Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 3, it says that there's a stone with seven eyes on it, and it takes away the sins of the world, right? Pretty weird, okay? A stone with seven eyes. That looks I always imagine a potato. I don't know why, but I always imagine, you know, the potatoes have eyes. Yeah.
Or a pineapple.
Yeah. Or a pineapple.
Potato head.
So you have these stones in the Old Testament. And then in the previous episode as well, I mentioned that there was three things that are written like directly by the hand of God.
Yes.
One of them is the stone tablets, mm-hmm. right? Most people can guess this one, right? But the stone tablets that actually Moses received from God, mm-hmm. if you actually read the story, because in a lot of depictions of the movies, and again, this is one of the things I mean by knowing what's in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. It's not.
In the movies, you always see him chiseling out the words, right?
Yeah.
It actually wasn't written that way. So the first stone, there's actually two sets. There's two that I'm going to get all mm-hmm. get comfortable here. There's two sets, right? So the first one is, you know, he receives them. And it actually says in Exodus 31, verse 18, it says written by the finger of God. Mm-hmm. So it's literally written by the finger of God. It's not Moses that actually wrote those words out there. So then he receives these stone tablets. He goes down to bring them to the people. But unfortunately, they're worshiping a false god at that point. So he smashes them, right? Big story there. And then he goes back up to the mountain for another 40 days. And this time he says, chisel out the stone tablets exactly as I showed you. Oh. So now that he's seen them, he chisels out the stone tablets. And then he says, and I will write on them. So again, God wrote on the stone tablets. And what did he write? He wrote the Ten Commandments, which is the law. So now you have this thing in the Bible that's a stone coming from God that is synonymous with God's law. Right? Synonymous with God's law. And if you think about a rock in general, you know, a rock it's really strong, right? It can be used to like smash things, right? They used it, unfortunately, they used it for judgment, right? They would pick up people, mm-hmm. they would stone people.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Horrible.
Yeah.
Awful.
Like Stephen was stoned. Other disciples had been stoned as well. So it's, you know, judgment as well. But it also can be used as like a foundation, right? They built a temple with, you know, stone. So you can think about the stone in that way. God uses the physical characteristics, which we've talked about a lot, right? Uses the physical characteristics in order to explain something, you know, spiritual. So now you have the stone in the old that is prophesied to come. And then when Jesus comes, right? When Jesus actually comes, just like you said, he refers to himself as that living stone. Now, why is he referred to as a stone? Well, look at all the physical characteristics that we talked about. Written by the hand of God, right? The actual word or the law of God written on the stone. And then you look at Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He says, I gave them the word you gave me, right? I gave them the word you gave me. So who gave the word to Jesus? It was, you know, it was God. And then it says in like Proverbs chapter 3, it says it's written on the tablets of our heart, right? The tablets of our heart. So really, where is God's word supposed to be, you know, written? What's that stone? It's actually, it's your heart. So Jesus himself, he was the stone because he had God's word written upon him. He was the word, right? Jesus is the word made flesh. He has that word written upon him, and he also had the ability to judge. That's what he had the ability to do, right? God, he says, God gave all judgment to the Son. In John chapter 5, verse 22, God gave all judgment to the Son. So Jesus was able to judge. Well, what do we judge by? You know, in this world, if you go to court, what are they gonna judge you by?
The law.
Yeah, the law, right? They'll open up a book. The law's right there. You know the law. This is what you broke, right? This is what you broke. So it's the same thing when it comes to, you know, comes to God. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus says, the very word that I spoke will judge you. The very word that I spoke. So that's, you know, again, God's law. So in the time of the first coming, the law of God, the stone of God was Jesus. And he had God's law written upon him. And he judged the people according to that law, the very word. So for example, there's a parable in Luke chapter 20. It's a really interesting parable. It's the parable of the vineyard, right? The tenants, the people that are supposed to be taking care of it. And when they're growing this vineyard and the fruit starts to come, then the owner's like, hey, my fruit's there. I want my fruit. So he sends some servants to go get the fruit. And the people that are just watching over the vineyard, they're like, no, they beat them and they hurt them. They kill some of them. And so the owner's like, man, this is not working out. You know, I'm going to send my son. I'll send my son. I'm sure they'll listen to him. And then they'll give him, you know, some of the fruit. So they see the son coming and they discuss amongst themselves. Look, it's the heir, right? It's the son. Let's kill him. And then we can take it all for ourselves. And then he looked, it's Jesus is actually saying this to the Pharisees and the scribes. And then he looked right at them and they knew that he was talking about, you know, they said they knew that this was talking about them. So he says, what do you think the owner is going to do? Right? What do you think the owner is going to do to these people? He's going to kill them. He's going to destroy them. And they say, oh, let this never be. And then he says, well, what do you think about what it says? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. You know, he who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and whatever the stone falls on will be crushed. He's talking about himself, right? He was the owner's son that was sent, and he's already prophesying. What are they going to do to him? They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him, right? So that's why he was that stone, because he had the law of God written upon him. And he's our foundation. He's our foundation upon what we build our faith on. We build our faith according to God and according to the promise, according to, you know, salvation, eternal life, all on Jesus. So now knowing that the stone itself, it's not a literal stone, it's a person. It's a person who receives the word of God, or it's the very word of God itself that is, you know, used for judgment. So the word can be likened to a stone for judgment, or can be likened to a person with the word of God, right? So then you carry it back over into Revelation. To the one who overcomes, I will give this white stone. Well, what does the stone represent? It represents the very law of God, the very word of God. So in the time of Revelation, the person that actually receives that white stone, that person will have the ability to judge God's people. Judge them according to what? According to the word. So now the whole world is going to be, you know, especially the religious world, will be judged according to the truth. Just like in the time of the first coming. You know, just like the time of the first coming. At that time, Jesus was the one that was really discerning between who was teaching truth and who was teaching lies. He had that ability. He had the right to do so. And that's why that white stone is so important in the time of, you know, in the time of Revelation. So there's another thing I want to talk about in a minute, but I'd like to hear some, you know, definitely some thoughts. And then I'll talk about another thing that's really important about the spiritual realm as well.
Jam.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think that it reminds me of, I'm not sure what, if it was in Matthew, about Peter being the rock. And how, yeah, Peter is the rock on which the kingdom of God is built. And they were talking about the church. And I was wondering if that's something that's related to this, because we're talking about stones and rocks. And
yeah, it's definitely, definitely related. Please.
I just know that, like, Sam calls Peter like the rock star.
No, that's Paul.
Ay, si Paul pala.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think Paul is such a rock star. But we're talking about Peter. And you're right, Jam. He was called... The name Peter means rock.
Means rock, Aaron, yeah.
Right?
What?
Yeah, and Jesus said... Yeah, Jesus said, you are the rock and I'm going to build my church upon you. Or something like that.
Yeah, it's in Matthew 16.
Got the book right.
Yeah. So it's very interesting because Jesus has 12 disciples, right? 12 disciples. And of course, we know one of them betrays, but then Matthias is the one that actually replaces him. So he has 12, right? The 12 disciples. And then it says that, yeah, upon Peter, he's going to begin to build that kingdom. So Peter becomes the, like what you can consider as like the first of the foundation stones. But then just like I said, I wanted to talk about the spiritual realm. This is where you get a little more, you know, a little more like insight into what those things became. So at the time of the first coming, what God was doing, okay, you got to always think about the first coming and the second coming as being like step one, step two. So God prophesied in the Old Testament, and then those prophecies go through the first coming into the second coming. But without the first coming, the second coming is not possible. Just like building a house, if you don't have the foundation, you can't build on top of, you know, nothing. It's just going to fall over. So you have to build that strong foundation. You have to have the blueprint, and then you build according to that, right? On the strong foundation. So what was Jesus doing at the time of the first coming? He was beginning to create the spiritual kingdom. Then in the second coming, create the physical kingdom where the two can become one, right? The two can become one. So what did he do? In the time of the first coming, he had his 12 disciples and he taught them the word of truth, right? That was the whole purpose of them. That's why he says in John 15, verse 3, the words that I've spoken have cleansed you, right? The word that I have spoken. And then he gives them the ability to also judge. He says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, right? What does that mean? It means if they don't give somebody the word of truth, they have that right not to give it. But if they give somebody the word of truth, then that person can also be born again by that word of truth, right? Just like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, you've been born again by the living and enduring word of God, right? Or James chapter 1, verse 18, you have been born as a first fruit through the word of truth, right? Through the word of truth. So they have the right to be able to give that knowledge to others or not give that knowledge to others, depending on that person. But it's not just Peter that remains as the foundation stone. And this is one of the most important things to remember. When God is building that spiritual kingdom in heaven, Jesus in John chapter 14 says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And where I go, I'm going to take you to be with me. So the disciples at that time, their spirits were cleansed, right? Purified. They were born again, but their flesh died in very horrific ways, actually.
Yeah.
Right? Very horrific ways. But they did it on purpose. They were martyred for a purpose. The fact that they were martyred, it says in Hebrews chapter 11 that they will gain a better resurrection, is what it says. They refused to be let go. They refused to give up because they knew that they were going to be used for something very, very special. Well, what were they going to be used for? Well, in Revelation chapter 21, you have the holy city, New Jerusalem, right? This spiritual kingdom of heaven. The holy city, New Jerusalem. It's called new because it's newly created. It's something that God promised in Jeremiah 2,600 years ago. And then when it actually was being fulfilled was, you know, 2,000 years ago when Jesus was creating it, but it's fully complete at the time of Revelation. So when you go into Revelation 21 in the spiritual realm, it actually says that there are 12 foundation stones with the names of the 12 apostles. So yes, God and Jesus, they chose Peter as the beginning of that foundation. But when you look at the holy city, it's not just Peter that's the foundation stone. And it's not just Jesus as the capstone, because he's the most important. But all 12 of the foundation stones exist. And the reason is, in Matthew chapter 19, okay, Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus says, at the renewal of all things, right? At the renewal of all things, meaning when everything is complete, you will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he gave that power and that authority to all 12 to become those foundation stones, and they will be the ones judging at the time of the end. So when that time comes, of course, that'll be, you know, the time of Revelation. But it wasn't just the 12. If you look at the holy city, New Jerusalem, it says all the walls are adorned with every precious stone, right? You have, you know, turquoise and amethyst, and you have, what is it? All the different ones, crystal praise, right? Crystal praise and topaz, right? All these beautiful stones that are all over. And then when you look at a verse like Ephesians is amazing. I love, you know, like you said, Paul's a rock star, right? So in Ephesians, when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22, it says, you know, you came to him, the living stone, right? But you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual kingdom. So it says the same thing in Ephesians and also in Peter, because they spoke the same, right? They spoke the same. So in Ephesians chapter 2, as I said, it says you also are being created into that spiritual kingdom, right? Like those stones, to be able to be built into that spiritual kingdom. And in 1 Peter, it says the same thing. In 1 Peter, it uses the exact scripture that I began with, which is in Isaiah 28, verse 16. So you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, and Peter uses that exact scripture to testify about Jesus. But he says, you also like living stones. So it's not just Jesus and it's not just the disciples that were like the stone. Anybody that becomes a child of God that's being created into that spiritual kingdom, because you have the word of God, you become like that living stone being built into that spiritual kingdom. So 2000 years ago, it was the spirits that were needed. The spirits were needed. Their flesh died, but their spirits were being spiritually created into a kingdom for God, made through the spirits of the martyrs. But today, what we are proclaiming is that now is the time that God is building his spiritual kingdom here on this earth as well. And he's using people like you and I by learning the word of truth and being created into that spiritual kingdom, like those living stones. And the one person in Revelation, the one who overcomes, the one who's chosen at that time, he's the one that is given that white stone. And that white stone represents the word of judgment. Because everything is going to be judged in the end. What is truth and what is lie? In the Old Testament in Daniel, I think I'm going a little long, but in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 2, there's a statue that's built. Okay, there's a giant statue, and it's actually the idol. This is why the rock and idol go together. So we'll talk about the idol later. But the idol itself, there's a rock that's cut out. It says, not by human hands. A rock that's cut out, but not by human hands. That's very important. And it smashes the idol on its feet and the whole thing comes crumbling down. Well, that idol represents Babylon. And why that's important is because in Revelation, Babylon appears again. And the only thing that can judge and destroy Babylon is that stone. That's the only thing that's not cut out by human hands. That's why in Revelation 2, that white stone is given by God and Jesus to the one who overcomes. It's not a law that man makes up. It's not a teaching that man makes up. It's the word of God that is revealed in the time of Revelation that is used to judge all of the lies of the world and make the truth known.
So what Shinchenji is proclaiming also is that everything that you just said that was supposed to happen at the time of Revelation, first of all, the time of Revelation is now, and that this white stone, which is figurative language for the word of judgment, has already been given to somebody. Mm-hmm. And that person is Chairman Lee.
Chairman Lee.
Correct, Instructor Aaron?
Yeah, that's the only reason that we can actually understand it now. You know, like I said before, you can't understand a prophecy until it's fulfilled, just like Isaiah 28. No matter how many times you read Isaiah, no one would know what the stone is or who it is. Even if you could guess that it's a person, you still wouldn't know that it was Jesus because he didn't appear yet, right? It's only when Jesus actually appears that you can now look at the reality, look at the prophecy, and then understand it fully. So the same thing today. No one for 2,000 years has known what that white stone is. You can find all kinds of commentaries on it, all kinds of understandings, right? But no one has known without any doubt exactly what it is until the time comes when it's actually fulfilled. And then the person that receives it, of course, they're going to know, right? They're going to know what it is. But how do you prove, right? How do you prove that that's what it is? That's why the entire Bible is so important. Because that white stone, it can be explained in the Old Testament, the time of the first coming, and the time of Revelation. And no one has been able to connect it like that. So more specifically, instead of just the word of judgment, it's actually the law of Revelation is what it's referred to as. The law of Revelation, because the fulfillment of Revelation, it actually identifies exactly who Satan is and who he's working through at the time of Revelation. And you're using the very words, the promises and prophecies of Revelation to prove exactly what, you know, Satan's doing. That's why you can judge by it, right? You can judge all the false teachings, the misunderstandings, any of the lies or deceit that's actually been, you know, twisted and actually polluted, if you will, you know, God's word.
This is kind of mind blowing, you guys. I just wonder what interpretation regarding the white stone other people have given, like those who claim that they're, you know, they're the chosen one, or you get me, like
yeah.
There's actually a mystery written on the stone as well that I didn't bring up because it's a long thing as well, but it says there'll be a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. So what is that new name, you know, and all these types, that's also proof, right? The person that actually receives this, because anybody can claim that they've, oh, I received the white stone, right? Anyone can claim it. But to do so, you have to be able to prove it. And that's why the Bible is so important, because everything that God has put in the Bible, it helps us to believe when the fulfillment comes. Now, as we're talking about today, we're just talking about one simple object, right? The stone. So for me to say that, it's going to sound, you know, pretty fantastical, because I haven't, you know, of course, there's so many other things that need to be understood to be able to believe in that. So my only purpose here today was just to give an understanding of what the white stone actually is. Mm-hmm. And the white stone, according to the Bible, right? According to the Bible, according to the scriptures, the white stone is synonymous with God's word, which is used to judge, and a person that is chosen by God with the word that is chosen to judge. And that's why it's so important to understand it in Revelation, because you have to find that person.
I have a stupid joke, you guys, but never mind, because Sam's going to totally judge me.
Oh, with a white stone. No, I don't have a white stone. It's not me. No, I think it's time for a joke. What's your joke?
I would like to apologize on the
already preemptive apology.
Do it. What is it?
Explain to instructor Aaron.
You want after. Me to translate your joke? Seriously?
No, like, you know, because it's a more of like, eh, anong bato yung na-receive ni Darna?
Oh my gosh, Tina. Are you familiar with Darna, Instructor Aaron?
She's a local Darna, hero.
Darna. Yeah, she's a like local superhero. Our, like a Wonder Woman.
Version of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she turns into like a super like hero so when she bad. Get she swallows a stone.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So I asked Sam, so what kind of stone did she receive? I'm sorry. It's a stupid joke. I told you. She's going to judge me now. Or maybe the Doritos will.
No, I'm done judging you. And we've come this far with the joke. So give us the punchline.
Wala nga. Yun nga lang yung tanong. Yun na yun.
That's the joke?
That's why I was quiet.
Yeah. See, that's why they're apologizing on my behalf, Instructor Aaron. Okay, bye, guys.
She's like, I'm out of here.
And I left the group.
I want to leave the group. Leave I'm just kidding. Jem, do you wanna say anything after hearing, you know, that whole explanation on yes, because there is a white stone in Revelation. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Jesus being referred to as a stone, and there is a stone that is talked about in the Old Testament as well. And so, you know, having heard that, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that this is a lot to process. I'm still kind of processing, but like Pastor Aaron did say that nobody really knows what the white stone is. And I think I read something about how biblical scholars have not been able to agree about what it is, and how they're like so many different theories about how it's like marble or how it's like a certain stone that was used to build the temple during Jesus' time. And like, I don't know, I was just like, oh, that's so true. Like, they couldn't agree. I was like, whoa. So I didn't add anything to the conversation. It makes sense because it aligns with that. And that's something that, you know, I don't know, it's kind of cool.
It is very cool.
That's why I love these teachings, because of that. You know, that they all, the best way to learn, like, I'm just telling you guys, you know, here, we're not reading the scriptures ourselves. I'm not showing you any kind of like connections. Usually we, you know, I would draw things on the board and like show you guys like connections so that you can see it visually, right? I'm not taking a lot of time to give really good explanations. It's really just a brief, hey, this is kind of, you know, what it is. But if you can see the logic there, right? That's the most important thing. You can be like, okay, wait, this logic, it just lines up, right? It lines up. There's a white stone in Revelation. Why in the world is there a white stone? Why is that even important to understand? Right? Yeah. What is the purpose? Why would God, there's this one book. I mean, the Bible itself, it's so precious. Every word is supposed to be so precious. So why in the world did God make sure that there's a white stone in there? It just doesn't make any sense. So most people just, you know, well, I don't need to worry about it. Right? It's just kind of set it aside. Doesn't really affect me. Right? But at the same time, if it is there, then, you know, we should want to know what it is. People should desire to know what it is. But just like you said, Jem, until the time comes, no one can understand it. Now think about it this way. Okay. Let's say that people have been teaching a certain teaching, not because they understood that it was, but this is what they think it is, for a long period of time. And many people actually believe that. But then the real thing comes. And because people have actually believed in what others were teaching that was not the real thing, they refuse to believe in the real thing. That's when it becomes a problem. That's the only reason that it's a problem, because they refuse to believe in the real thing. If we want to be people that actually believe in God, we have to believe the truth. That's what Jesus says, you know, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Whose truth? It would be God's truth, right? Not my truth, not your truth, not anyone else's, but, you know, God's truth. So if he says, this is what this is, then to believe that means that you believe in God. To not believe in that, then you no longer believe in God. So when this person receives this white stone, right, basically what God is giving him is all the knowledge of the figurative language, all the knowledge of the promises and prophecies. He's giving him the right to be able to judge between any teaching in the world, because God gives him that judgment by giving him the word of truth. If you don't know the truth, then you can't judge between truth and lie. It's very simple. Right? If you don't know the truth, if I don't know the truth, no one can judge what's truth. It's just your opinion, my opinion, right? You guys ever seen that, that like when there's like a six on the floor and there's two people standing and one person says it's a six and the other person says it's a nine because the way that they're looking at it.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And they say, this is how opinions are, right? And both of them are right, because from his point of view, it's a six. From his point of view, it's a nine. But actually, if you can find the person that wrote the actual number, you can ask them, what did you write? Did you write a nine or a six? And then whatever they say that becomes the truth, right? That becomes the truth. So for example, okay, I use this example a lot because, you know, kids makes it easy, right? So if I promise my kids that I'm going to get them, you know, an ice cream cone, right? I'm going to buy them an ice cream cone because they were good that day. They ate all their food, all the fun stuff, whatever. So now you guys may wonder, well, what kind of ice cream is it going to be? Right? You may all have a different thought. So what's your guys' favorite ice creams?
Vanilla.
No, you're such a liar. We went to lunch today and you wanted strawberry. You always want strawberry. Are you kidding me? Yes.
So if you bought the Napoleon, then it'd be great, because no one ever eats the strawberry, right? They would always say, so we have, okay, strawberry, right? And then what else would you guys think that it might be. What's your favorite?
Matcha. Oh, you gotta have chocolate. What's that? Chocolate? What did you say? Jam?
Matcha.
Matcha. Ooh, okay.
What's matcha?
It's a little
green tea.
Japanese.
Okay. Okay. See, yeah. See, so you have all these different ideas because I made a promise that I'm going to buy an ice cream cone, but none of you guys know what kind it is. So you have your own personal bias as to what you think it might be. Maybe you even think, okay, well, he has kids, so maybe he's going to get like that rainbow sherbet, or maybe he's going to get like what they call the starburst or everything like that. But my daughter likes, you know, mint chocolate chip, right? So when I buy it, after I buy it, that becomes the truth. It doesn't matter what people thought it was going to be before. The truth of that promise, the fulfillment of that promise was it's mint chocolate chip. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So yeah.
I promise a white stone will be given. Okay, well, what is that white stone? Well, I think it's this. I think it's this. I think it's that. But then when the actual stone is given, that becomes the truth. And if you want to worship God in truth, then you have to know what that truth is. So someone has to testify what that truth is, then you have to listen to that and you have to either accept it or reject it. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important to know what these things are. Because in the time of revelation, when everything's fulfilled, to have proper faith, you have to believe in the fulfillment. Just like the time of the first coming, right? Just like the time of the first coming, you could say that you believed in God, but if you didn't believe in the fulfillment, which was Jesus, then you no longer believed in God. That's what Jesus said.
Yeah. Jem, look, you look like you have some thoughts.
I know. That's what I look like. But in reality.
But the truth, in truth.
And I think really that is like the underlying theme with all of the parables that we have been discussing, right? Is that because obviously the book of Revelation has been around for 2000 years, right? And there have been many ways that this has been interpreted, all that stuff that's in there. But what you're saying, Instructor Aaron, is actually until all of this fulfills and the understanding is given by God to a chosen person, we cannot understand it. We can't.
No.
No and we human shouldn't being add. Could. Yeah, is what you're saying, right? And the only reason that we have this kind of explanation is that it's been given. Someone has right. been chosen. And it is now being testified. Jam, that is the premise of our conversations on the parables.
I wonder, guys, what Chairman Lee had to say when... I wonder if he had... If he was given time to think about it, I don't know if I'm ready. Or just, oh, okay, I'll get it. I'll take well,
actually,
the stone.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually, yeah. I mean, it's not an easy it's not an easy task. And yeah. actually he talks about and he brings up the prophets of the Old Testament. Like Jeremiah, for example, he says he curses the day that his mother ever gave birth to him because of how difficult it was. Right? Ezekiel sat overwhelmed for 7 days. He sat overwhelmed when God gave him that truth in in Ezekiel chapter 3, he sat there for 7 days overwhelmed. You know, that it's a hard task. And so in Revelation 10, when he receives the open scroll, it says that it's sweet like honey in your mouth, but in your stomach, it's very bitter, right? It makes your stomach sour. And that's because now think about this. Okay. For example, just using the stone. Okay. Let's say this is the truth. So now the stone is this. This is the reality of the stone. This is the absolute truth of what the stone means. Now, what does he have to do? He has to go out into the world and teach all the pastors, all the theologians, all the masters of divinity who have been teaching wrong. He has to teach them the truth. He's a nobody from nowhere. Has no authority in their eyes to do this. How hard do you think that's going to be? Who's going to listen to him? But yet, if you don't believe according to the truth, then you're believing a lie. And if you believe a lie, then you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping Satan. That's what he has to tell them. Yeah. In the time of the first coming, it was the same. Jesus says, your father is the devil. Why? Because they were worshiping lies. They were worshiping lies. They weren't worshiping according to the truth. So Jesus was there and he was giving them the truth. But what does he say? You have no room for my word. I tell you the truth and the truth will set you free. And they're like, we don't need your truth, right? We don't need to hear this stuff. So they called him Beelzebub. They called him devil, you know, devil possessed and evil. They said he was a cult. He was a sect. He was, they told people, don't listen to this guy, right? He's mental. And it's the same thing today. This person has such a difficult task. Who wants to listen that they've been teaching wrong or that they've been taught wrong their whole life? Let's say you dedicate your entire life to being somebody who can teach about God. You go to theology school. You spend thousands of dollars to get a degree. Then you go again and you get your master's in divinity. And then you have somebody that has no education whatsoever come up to you and go, actually, that's not the truth. This is the truth. Well, how do you know? Because I received that truth from God and Jesus. Okay, you're mental, right? You're crazy. I don't want to hear that. That's exactly what's happening, you know, today. It's the same thing. But if it's the truth, it's the truth. It doesn't matter what was taught before. So how does he prove it? The only way to prove it is not who he is or where he came from. The only way to prove it is by being able to explain the Bible perfectly, perfectly from Genesis to Revelation. And he is the only person that I've ever seen, known, or known about that has been able to do that. Even John, Apostle John, who wrote the Revelation, could not do that. Even Paul, the superstar, he said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. He says, I'll tell you a mystery, but he doesn't know all the mysteries. So even the people, the disciples at the time of the first coming, they did not know the full truth. So the teachings of Shinshanji, the teachings of the open scroll, the teachings of the revealed word, it's the highest teaching that has ever been taught for 6,000 years in biblical history. But again, who wants to hear it? That's the key.
Wow. Wow. I think, because I think, no. I think this is important because when I listen to your seminars, right, that are online, I often hear whoever is teaching the word for that day's seminar say something along the lines of, you know, after everything you've said, Instructor Aaron, right? Because maybe some people hear that and they feel bad. But the thing is, even if you wanted to know and exerted all your effort and time and resources to know, you couldn't have known.
Right. It's not their fault.
Exactly. Like, it's not your fault because it wasn't time for us to know this stuff. I just want to add that in there because I hear that a lot. When I, you know, in the seminars that I've watched, right?
Yeah. And again, it's definitely want to make a distinction. Everyone's in the same boat. Everyone's in the same boat, right?
Exactly.
We're all dwelling in darkness until the light comes. But when the light comes, that's when you have to make a choice. The people that are willing to listen, and there are thousands of people, you know, currently right now, we have anywhere from 80 to 90,000 people that are being taught right now in the centers around the world. 80 to 90,000 people. It's incredible. We had a graduation a couple of years ago of 103,000 people in 1 year that wanted to learn this truth. Many of them theologians, many of them pastors. Right now we're working on what's called MOUs, memorandums of understanding, right? Or, you know, in these agreements with other, you know, pastors. All it is to agree that these teachings are something quite profound. And currently, I think there's around 18 or 1900 that have been signed in the last, less than the last year. 18 or 1900 that have been signed, you know, just going throughout the world. People that have been listening to the seminars and things like that. So I want to be very, very clear. Yeah, I'm not trying to make anyone, you know, I'm not trying to judge anyone or put anyone down or make them feel bad. We're all in the same boat. Until the truth is revealed, there is no possible way of knowing it. But when the truth comes, that's when John 3 becomes a reality. See, in John 3, he says, the light has come into the world, but men love darkness because their deeds are evil. But those that come into the light, right, they're the ones that become children of light. So you have a choice, learn the word of truth or don't. bless you, learn the word of truth or don't, right? Yeah. And that's unfortunately what stops people from believing. There's a few things. It could be pride. It could be arrogance. They're called spiritually drunk or spiritually rich, meaning that they already know enough. They don't need anyone else's truth. But you have to realize a lot of that is because of, you know, it's the evil one, it's Satan. If Satan has control of someone's heart and their mind, he's not going to want them to learn the truth because it's going to expose him. So he's going to do everything he can to stop people from listening. Well, what's the best way? How did he stop people from listening to Jesus in the first coming? He had the leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, he had them call him a cult. Say that he was, you know, demon possessed. That anyone that agreed to listen to him was kicked out of the synagogue. So that's how Satan stopped people from listening in the first coming. What makes you think he's going to do anything different in the second? Right? So that's why if you do, you know, find out, I'm sure people look up the name, you know, Shinchenji. It's actually how, you know, Sam even stumbled onto this, right? Was because massive persecution, massive amounts of persecution. It makes perfect sense.
Good but job, yeah. Sam.
I mean, you know, all that aside, and not to disregard any of it, because I'm sure that factors in and people consider all that stuff. And, you know, especially now, I mean, whenever you hear something new, or if you're curious about anything, automatic, go on Google, look it up, right? And I just, I guess for me, it's like, it has to be about how these things line up. Mm. When you present to us something like you did today about the rock, right? How are we able to connect all of those things throughout the Bible? We're not focusing on one verse and just kind of, you know, elaborating on one thing. We're really now threading through the entire thing. And as has been mentioned in past episodes, you know, and I think most, if not all Christians would agree that, yeah, the whole thing is connected. There's a foreshadowing. There are types, you know, whatever you want to call it. But at the time when all of this is understood, it's like you look back on the whole thing and you're like, oh my goodness, okay, that lines up. Like, that makes sense. So I think that's where I'm kind of like just, you know, mind blown really when I hear the explanations on these parables. And I guess that's kind of my invitation as well. You know, and it's the same thing at the first coming, right? I think a lot of the people had a problem with the teaching is perhaps they looked at Jesus and they were like, who is this person?
Yeah, he was nobody, you know? From nowhere, right? Yeah.
Exactly. You know, looks nothing like they were expecting. He was not a powerful, good-looking, well-educated person, you know, king, savior type that they were looking for or waiting for at all. But it was in listening to the things that he had to say and believing in that, right? And I think where you guys are coming from is that, yeah, it's going to happen again. And this is the teaching that we are proclaiming. And now we have to listen to that. Or whoever has, or whoever is claiming to have an understanding of this and what's supposed to happen at the second coming, like that can be, that has to be the basis, not anything else.
Right.
Right. Okay. So
and for someone like, you know, Jam, who, you know, is hearing one small, tiny object, right? A rock. And then what I'm trying to do for her is just use what we were talking about before about the Bible. How is it possible we can prove that it's not written by man? You know, trying to use the rock to show how that's possible, because if no one really knows what the rock is, right? If no one knows what the rock in Revelation actually represents, then how can you have somebody write about it, you know, 1,000, 2,000 years beforehand in the same way? And then how can you have the first coming match up with it when no one really understands it? There's the only possible way is that the person that actually, or the entity that wrote it to begin with, knew what the rock was and made that same consistent truth all the way through. And the only entity that could possibly do that is something that's beyond, you know, man. So just using this one little object, this little rock, right? And then showing you how consistent that truth is all the way through. No man can do that. Right? Yeah. No man can do that. And you can't manipulate it and go back and write things into the Bible because it's already there, right? I can't go back and write things into your Bible. It's already there. So the history already exists. So how do you make it match unless it was already meant to match to begin with? And so for someone like Jam, just this one little rock, I mean, it's going to be really hard to even see the big picture because, you know, it's one thing. But for those that go through and learn every figurative language, you'll see how every single one lines up. Every single one matches up, you know, old first revelation.
Okay. So, yeah, I think it's time we wrap this show, guys. I was going to call Jam Rock. Rock?
It's always a challenge, you know, every time that you come across something new in faith that you don't understand or that you didn't understand before. And I suppose that's the challenge here.
I can see like in Jam's face and like she's from the first episode of this one, like she's speechless now. And that's definitely not your personality. You know, I know you're... And what my fear is this, is that for anybody that's listening, right? Anyone that's listening, there's something called proper food at the proper time, right? Proper food at the proper time. You don't feed a baby solid foods when they're a baby. You feed them, you know, porridge or, you know, mashed up things because that's all that they can actually, they will choke otherwise, right? That's also what the chairman says all the time. Proper food at the proper time. What you're hearing, it's solid food, if you will. And being an infant, anyone who's never learned this truth, they're considered as like a spiritual infant. So trying to swallow this right away, you're going to choke. It's not something that you can just swallow and accept. So I really, truly urge anyone, including you, Jam, anyone who's listening to this, that it's a shock of what you're hearing, then just go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning and listen to the very, you know, first things. And just, you know, like you were saying before, sip by sip, right? Bite by bite. Anyway, I just felt like I needed to say that because I feel like a lot of what I'm saying, I don't want to harm people by giving this truth so dramatically and so solid. And that's what I'm afraid that sometimes I might be doing I need to testify it. I need to make it known, but I also want people to be able to eat what they can, you know, at the proper time. So that's my hope for anyone that's listening as well.
Right, right. Jam, we appreciate you joining us on this episode again. Let us talk about Loca Locus PH, which is the podcast that Jam does with her friend Dapsky. They talk about the most random things, but they are just a smart and fun duo that I really highly recommend that you go and listen to the podcast. Is there anything else that's going on that you want to talk about on the show?
In my life? So in the face of everything we've talked about, everything just feels a lot smaller. But
oh, wow.
I mean, it's always like that whenever you talk about religion. That's my opinion, you know, whether or not you believe what it is you're talking about, it's always something that is bigger than you, you know, just by the virtue of it being testament or rather testified by other people, right? That's history. So it's not just bigger than you in concept. It's bigger than you in breadth and width and history. So I just like to absorb information. Thank you so much for having me here on the show. I think that it's a lot to process, but I am thankful to be faced with the information, you know. And it's nice because, like, lately I've been thinking about my faith. Like, my best friend recently was talking about faith with me, and I was so surprised because we had never talked about faith in our lives before. And I don't know, like, it just feels like things are are I don't know. End of sentence.
Like, do you feel, I don't know, God is orchestrating something or something like that? Is that what you're...
Don't resist, girl. Take it all in.
It's funny because a couple of years ago, I was late to class and the teacher was asking me, because I teach a class at a Catholic high school. And
right now?
Yeah.
What class do you teach?
Radio.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. What school is this?
St. Paul.
Yeah.
I did not know that. School. Okay.
Yeah, that's why when you were talking about like St. Paul as a rock star, I was like, not St. Paul again. No, but yeah. It's a lot, but I mean, I think it deserves the attention, and you know, it's not going to be for everyone, but you know, if you think it's for you, then it's for you, right?
I really love that sentiment that you said earlier about just walking away from a conversation like this and feeling like, okay, wow, everything is just very small now compared to that stuff.
I mean, I'm 5'1½", so.
No, not to make
literal. Yeah, but yeah. But thank you so much for having me. Yeah, so thank you so much as well. I think that this would be a very interesting conversation as well to have with other people in our industry, because I feel like there are a surprising number of people who have very, very interesting opinions on the topic of faith and how open they are to receiving it, whether it's revelatory in nature or not, big word. Basically, yeah, thank you so much for having me here. Listen to our podcast or don't, it's fine. It's not the only thing I do in my life.
They want you to love them. Go do it.
Gosh. I feel like there's a lot that we talked about today that bears consideration.
I'm thankful.
Good place to start. Yeah. Let's talk about you guys' show. I mean, you know, I say it all the time, but you know, what's going on? Healing Leaves with Instructor Erin Russo. What's up with you guys?
Oh, with my, it's a project that's with a lot of different people that have kind of contributed to it. So my own portion, I just usually teach where I do sermons, you know, occasionally on Sundays. There's a couple other people that I switch off with from time to time. So that's the information that's actually posted up there of mine, is just the sermons that, you know, we give. And it's really just understanding the Bible. So if anybody does want to actually just understand different things about the Bible, not specifically figurative language and not talking about specifically revelation, but just in general about the Bible, purpose of the cross, you know, redemption, salvation, wanting to know about things like, oh, let's see. There was one that we did on food, you know, proper food or Passover, you know, things like that. So just a lot of different topics that people have asked me about in the past. And then I just make sermons that really give a good understanding of why these things exist in the Bible, what we're meant to understand or learn from them, and then how we can live our, you know, life of faith understanding in this way. So it's much more broad, much more simplistic to be able to understand. So this is really heavy stuff we're talking about. That's really light stuff, right? That's like the little hors d'oeuvres and whatnot, you know, so that's an easy way there. But yeah, that's what that is. And then there's a lot of little short stories and things that people actually add. And I'm really encouraging other people to start to get more involved, to add a little bit more content. And that's just one of many. There's a lot of different websites that are from, you know, different people that have put in different things from like Shinshinji itself, or from, you know, specific churches that belong to it and things like that. So, but it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I've checked it out. I'm into it. Healing Leaves with Instructor Erin Russo, Tina Ryan. The dog is behind the human. What is it doing?
And the dog is currently under the laptop table sleeping. I'm scratching his little butt. Yeah. Kobe, everyone says hi. Yeah. While you guys were discussing, he was chewing this. Under the table.
I was asking about the podcast, but you really gave us an update on the dog.
I know, right?
Like the actual, no, but yeah,
it's still there. I mean, I haven't done recent episodes just because we switched the recording nights. So we're trying to just, you know, match each other's schedule. But anything about dogs, training, behavioral problems, you can watch it on YouTube, The Dog Behind the Human. I'm not the specialist, it's Dog Coach Francis.
But I have to say, I am so impressed with Tina because she is so knowledgeable about dogs.
Oh yeah.
I know, because you're you're a dog lover, and so you've had dogs for a very long time, and I'm sure you've picked up a lot, but and maybe doing this podcast too, you know, you're just kind of absorbing all that information. But like, wow, every time I see Tina with a dog, she's a complete natural. And I think you could at this point be a dog coach too. So
I don't have the patience.
You do. Yes, you do. But go everyone, go check out their stuff. Again, Loco Locus PH with Jam and her friend Dapsky, Healing Leaves with Instructor Aaron Russo, Dog Behind the Human podcast with Tina Ryan. Thank you for joining us on this parable of the rock. Go be a rock star. We'll see you next time. Okay. Bye-bye.